Prime ministers
and presidents
may come and go, but the certainty of exemplary entertainment on the Midweek Drive
and the Midweek Drive Morning Edition
remains.
That's Lily Holloman, affecting an accent.
And there's really only one thing to say as we launch another fabulous Midweek Drive, and those are the words, Zoe Jameson is now an officially qualified vet. Well done, Zoe! Yay! Yeah, across the socially distant Irish Sea, we actually have the full spirit of Siren and indeed the Midweek Drive continuing to congratulate that, because it's all come through perfectly well. And you see, Zoe, nothing to worry about at all sorted.
Yes, a huge sigh of relief was breathed yesterday.
So. Yeah. Now, of course, it's just a case of finding some animals to treat and go from there, basically. So the horses of the world suddenly were saying, nee, or words to that effect as they work through that and saying, thank heavens, all is great from that perspective. Because, and presumably, although you can actually deal with a range of animals, and we've covered that in the past, it's mostly the horse that you would say is pretty good. Is that correct?
Yes, hopefully. Well, yeah, my first job, I'm just going to do horses, so we'll see how that goes.
Well, it's perfectly okay. And spoken well in the week which sees Royal Ascot, of course, taking place. Now, the question is, will you be watching Royal Ascot as a socially distanced person, wearing your particular outfit for Royal Ascot, etc., in front of a computer screen, etc., or is it a case of, I'm sorry, if I'm going to be there? I mean, I've done, I think, 5 Royal Ascots in my time, one of which was held up in York. I did another 4 at Ascot. Is it something which you'd say it's not going to be the same, or will it be a case of in the Jameson household, yes, you'll be going for it?
I mean, I don't think it will be quite the same, but how nice that it's still, we're going to still be able to see it, isn't it?
Mm. I mean, the big question, and I should really have put this to Richard Fitzwilliams, our royal correspondent, can we still say it's Royal Ascot when the Queen will be there and will only be there in a socially distanced routine? I should be watching it, if at all, on screen. She won't actually be there, because I always understood from Nick Smith and indeed other folk, Nick being the public relations officer for Royal Ascot, that it could only be called Royal if a member of the royal family was actually there. Otherwise, it's just Ascot.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
It's just a thought which might sort of occupy people's minds when they're looking for which mask to wear or various other things, etc. I did promise Robin Pierce, or have promised Robin Pierce, or have worked through, I don't know, time is all blurring into one in this sort of instance, that I would assure you when we spoke that it's okay. Robin is not a scary stalker from Wales. He has... He basically said for some reason he could only locate you by going onto Facebook and then obviously contributing to the Just Giving page. I pointed out even I in the sort of the technological challenge world that we've had with Wi-Fi-less, etc., still managed to use my device to type in justgiving.com and then in the search bar put in the name Zoe Jameson, and as we identified last week, it's quite simple: James on, as in Jameson, James on Zoe beforehand. And lo and behold, I was greeted with yourself. And I think we're about 67% of the way towards securing this target you've set in terms of fundraising for the St John Ambulance people for, of course, the London Marathon, the rearranged London Marathon. So not bad. And I think we're really, I mean, I think you're looking at a target about £1,700, I think, if memory serves.
Yeah, we're getting there slowly but surely.
Yeah.
So it's all very positive. I think we're waiting for an update on the London Marathon, which is due on the 21st of June.
Well,
so that will give us a better idea.
And I've been intrigued, of course, by seeing the photograph you've put on in terms of the Just Giving page, because there you are, actually, with a hockey pitch to your right-hand side, actually being wheeled away. You know, it's like, you know, and you can tell the team are down because they've lost their star person, they've lost their star contributor. You know, and you know, it's not for nothing that Robin nominated you, in fact, has named you last week's MVC. That's the Robin Pierce MVC. So officially, as well as graduating with honours and as a fully qualified vet, Zoe, from the Royal Veterinary College, Zoe, you now can actually add, you have been most valuable contributor to the Midweek Drive from Robin Pierce. So it gets, you know, even more, you know, the gradual notion of Jamesonites, Jamesonettes, that effectively are sort of expanding around the world is growing, you know, one soul at a time, but that's important. But it was interesting. Now, I mean, I think when did that hockey injury occur? Was it actually when you were a contributor for the Midweek Drive? Or was it a wee bit before then?
No, it was over a year ago.
Over a year ago. I mean, and clearly, you know, you looked after from that perspective. But it's interesting seeing some of the landmarks in terms of the updates you've put on Just Giving as to where you've been going and running in Northern Ireland. So, I mean, and again, I have to hastily, I don't expect Robin to actually suddenly, even though we're getting bubbles connected from one thing, to actually suddenly fly across, or indeed swim across, or travel across the Irish Sea, to actually say, oh, that's where she's actually running, etc. Because these are past things from that point of view. But anyway, just to say, Robin is okay. He is a fine, he's the lead writer for a magazine called Starburst Magazine, which is the world's leading horror and science fiction magazine, etc. And he does regular contributions to the, including, obviously, providing the Robin Pierce Most Valuable Contributor, of which you are the latest recipient. So there we are. Just wanted to clarify that.
I feel very privileged.
Well, you know, at the end of the day, Zoe, you launched this whole sequence of socially distanced midweek drives. Your energy enthusiasm has kept us going. And as more and more midweek drivers kind of come together, you know, I mean, Ben Lewis, for instance, has returned, looking to connect together. Tessa Snott is there, etc. Sarah Huntley, Gwyneth Griffiths, Kaylee Carr will be joining us. You know, you hold that, you know, very much as sort of the driving force, which is there. Anyway, enough of such stuff. How are things going? And are you still actually doing your running, your training, etc.? Or is it a case of no? Now I've actually secured my degree, I'm just going to have a few days just chilling out and relaxing.
Well, I have had a few days rest, but I actually took part in, there's a company called Ultra X, and they organise ultramarathons around the world. And so when we were all faced with lockdown, they decided they were going to do a virtual race series. So I did the first three qualifiers of that and have managed to get a wild card for the final, which is actually today. So I've got to go and do a big run for that. So that's my plan for this afternoon.
I mean, Zoe, I mean, I know you are a superheroine, you know. I mean, it basically, all you need is a cape and you would be Supergirl. You know, that's
well,
effectively
I could do with some wings today to get me round, I think.
Yeah. Well, don't go for any of those energy drinks. Just, you know, take it at your whole thing. You know, you need to bear in mind. Can people support you? Can people follow you online? I mean, what's the way forward? I mean, and actually bearing in mind that a number of people will be listening to this probably when you've already produced it and had a startlingly best record, etc. Do you intend to monitor this at all? Will there be a way in which people can follow Zoe's adventure in this Ultra X marathon?
We have to track it on Strava. So obviously, because it's a virtual thing, people all over the world are doing it. So we have to provide proof of the distance that we've covered and the time. So I will track it on my Strava probably post it on.
You see, that's quite interesting because you say track it on your Strava. Now, I thought, is that an Irish town that I haven't actually heard of? You know, I mean, it was, I think, like Stravan, like Stranraer, and, I'm just next door to Strava, you know, like Ballinafad, Ballinafoyle, etc. And I was thinking, I'd never heard of Strava. You know, I'd heard of you know, obviously Belfast. We've heard of other sort of areas, the Killarney and Cork and various other things. I thought, Strava, never heard of that, etc. I was going to ask you, where is Strava? And now you've informed me, you've kind of said it's an application that you put to actually just basically track where you're running from.
Yeah.
Never heard of it before, but still, that just shows, you know, sometimes, you know, how the... Last week I was talking about VHS tapes. You never heard of those. This time, Strava. That's great. You know, I mean, this is what life is all about, effectively. You know, it's a whole new world coming through on that whole basis. Zoe, good luck with that. Do you feel reasonably confident? Or is it a case of, well, it's been quite some time? I mean, you are fueled by not only getting your degree, but also being Most Valuable Contributor to the Midweek Drive.
We'll see. It'll be fine.
I mean, I even use snail mail to send you an official card of thanks from that point of view.
So thoughtful.
Well, you know, it's there. It's marvellous stuff. And I'm sure Robin will be delighted to hear that he might, hopefully when he's gone through the sponsorship thing, he might also receive some of the fabulous Zoe Olivia animal card sketches as well. Yes,
I'll have to send him a message and get his address.
This is the way forward. Otherwise, it's Robin Williams, care of somewhere in Wales. You know, that's all I can say. I think somewhere, yeah, I'd have to go back to the email, sort of thing through. Well, it's all very confusing anyway. Zoe, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today?
I have, as always.
And are you all set and ready post... I was going to say post-Strava run. I suppose we could say that.
It's
a Strava run. What's the altitude of the route like? I mean, are you going, because I've noticed that you said, well, that was a bit high on one or two of the reports that's actually there. Do you go up and down, uphill and down dale? I mean...
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're very lucky where we live. It's very pretty, but it's very hard. It's very hilly around here.
Yeah.
So.
Well, try and run on grass. And as the old Irish song would have said, and I'm citing my own McCormick background here, that's why I'm putting the old cod accent on. May the ground ever rise to meet your feet, Zoe Jameson. Okay.
I was
trying to sort of channel some of the old Irish, the old Blarney coming across from that point of view. So I mean, maybe it's not coming across as well as I hoped, but you know what they?
I think you've nailed it.
Oh, indeed. And look out for leprechauns. That's the other thing I have to say, because you never know. They can be around. They can trip you up. They do all sorts of things like that, basically. Zoe, take care of yourself.
Maybe they'll cheer me on today.
And that is... I mean, and you also have... I mean, is it Zoe Jameson BSc Honours now?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Not just, oh, yeah. Zoe Jameson BSc Veterinary Surgeon Honours MVC Midwick Drive. Awesome. Yay! Keep on going, Zoe. Keep on going.
Thank you so much.
Disguise for me, come into the open when it's cold outside. Am I here in vain? Hold on to the night, there will be no shame. Always I wanna be with you and make believe with you and live in harmony, harmony.
eminently sensible sentiments, Erasure and Always. You're listening to the Midweek Drive, and what is now becoming a regular slot, and she's the three in a row doing classic stuff, etc., our resident philosopher from indeed the joys of Stokesley, north of England. We can welcome now the wonderful Poppy Booth. How are you, Poppy?
Hello, I'm good. I don't think Stokesley's been that wonderful this week. It's been rainy and horrible, so it's not been as nice as normal.
Yeah, but, you know, it's all about perception, Poppy. It's all about perception. You know, it's one person's utopia can be another person's dystopia. There are folk who would actually say lockdown is the best ever. There are others that would actually turn around and say, oh, what the hey. It's like The Good Place. You know, it's all down to that perception side of things.
That's true, yeah. Our neighbour is a farmer, so I'm sure he's pretty happy about the rain after all of that dryness.
And actually, speaking of which, are you becoming one of the growing band of crop pickers? I mean, is that something where you're a case of, you know, to ensure that we collect in all the farms, etc.? Are you going to be volunteering to say, yes, I'm going to go out there and actually pick some fruit?
I haven't yet, but I would definitely consider it. I know a few people that have, and I think it's been quite lucrative for them so far. So who knows where my life will take me.
As long as, of course, you're socially distanced. That's the important thing. It's very important.
Yeah, it's good.
What am I going to say? Yes, in terms of a subsidiary programme, which doesn't actually go out on Siren, but goes out again as a podcast exclusive, and indeed up at James Cook University Hospital, Book of the Month, we were covering The Seven Deaths of Evelyn Hardcastle by Stuart Turton, and it was given high scores by Rob Nichols and Jenny Finch. Before I ask you for a mark out of 10 for this, what did you make of it?
I thought it was great. I really liked it. I thought it was kind of Agatha Christie meets Black Mirror, and I love both of those things, so it really worked for me.
Oh, there you go. Absolutely spot on. And what if we were to ask you, would you give it as a mark out of 10?
I think a solid 9 out of 10, I think I would give it.
Which matches the scores. It's 9s all around, which is wonderful.
Very good.
I think last week we were also talking about The Good Place and suggested a few other areas within that. Have you now worked your way through the entire series, and are you looking for something else to actually occupy your visual senses?
Well, I think we're still on season 2 because we're watching it as a family. So there's various nights where not all of us will be free. So it's been quite slow moving. So yeah. I think we've still got a lot of that ahead of us. It's exciting.
I mean, that also brings around a very interesting challenge about the sort of 21st century insofar as netclusivity, effectively, as opposed to exclusivity, that you do have to, if it's going to be a social watch, you all have to be together to do that. And that can be, with diaries and various other bits and pieces, even presumably when you're in the same household, quite challenging.
Yeah, definitely. As you know, as a big surge in Zoom quizzes at the moment, which have really thrown a spanner in the works in terms of our schedule.
So let's consider Zoom, which clearly has been one of the beneficiaries of the recent lockdown. I mean, there are radio stations that have been using Zoom. There are a variety of other places that are using Zoom. I have not used Zoom as yet. I may do it. We'll just have to wait and see. As I said earlier on the production, very exciting times this week because it's the first time from a domestic point of view I was able to take part in a virtual Microsoft Teams meeting. I hadn't even realised there was a camera on my laptop, but it's okay. So Zoom, a little bit down the line. Is this something which you're a fan of? Would you say, yeah, this is the way forward? We do not wish to actually go out and deal with flesh world at all. It all needs to be through the medium of a screen.
I think you need a happy medium. I think that there is a lot of good in using kind of a digital way to talk to people. In that, you know, you can save money on petrol, which a lot of people are doing because they don't have to go into work and that kind of thing. But also you do definitely lose some of the ability to discuss that you would have if you were in person, because you just can't tell when someone else is going to start, and then there's people talking over each other, and it just makes it, I think, a lot more difficult. But I think there are pros and cons to each. So I think if you could combine the two, I think that would be the best way to carry on.
There is, of course, the other question mark with respect to it puts people on their honour that they don't have people actually secretly using search engines to actually find answers to various other things. Presumably that is also a challenge. I mean, is there a timer that's put into place here? Is there a sort of way forward? Is there a kind of public shaming of people who are actually found to not actually be relying on their own brains to actually sort of answer questions?
Yeah, well, because I had an online exam for my final module at uni, and that was kind of thing where there was a timer and you only had a certain amount of time. Mm. So, and obviously it was an English literature exam, so if you hadn't prepared, you can't really read, you know, four full books in 2 hours. So you
even with the best, speed reading,
you still have to know some of the information. Mm. So I think maybe with sciences it's a bit different, but that's not my territory, so I'll let someone else figure that one out.
I was thinking more sport, really. You know, when people actually turn around and say, you know, who were the FA Cup finalists last year, and actually coming up with Watford and Manchester City can be quite challenging. You know, if that was just a thought. Never mind. When do you get the results, by the way, Poppy? When's the sort of line come through when people say Poppy Booth BA honours?
I think word on the street is it's the 22nd of June, so I'm hoping that that's the actual date and not just a rumour.
So effectively, we've got another two of these things before we can officially give you the round of applause that we've just given to Zoe Jameson, who has just heard actually is officially qualified as a vet. She is from the Royal Veterinary College. She's got a full honours degree, for her, so she's sorted out on that basis. And if you have any horses, Poppy, that you'd like to have treated by our fabulous Zoe, I'm sure, you know, she'd be up for the case. So there we are.
I'll definitely keep it in mind become a horse owner.
Well, I mean, these are the kind of things which I'm having to sort of, in a sense, share verbally, unless, of course, you have a chance to listen to the show, as opposed to actually making those contacts in the studio, which used to be, back in the day, the case. I think I recall last week when we'd sort of settled the thing that, by the way, has your American friend from Seattle been in touch recently, or is she a case of, I already spent 6 months with her, I can't speak to her ever again?
She's forgotten me already. No, she has. She her 2 week of quarantine has ended now. When she got home, so she's been socially distancing outside, which has been good.
Well, as we said, we're getting a few of our American correspondents back online shortly. And actually, next week we're doing a batch. So if she fancies making her debut and doing a telephonic link, then you know we might be able to arrange something from that point of view. So you can be
let
official.
Her know.
Agent.
Yeah, sure she'd be interested.
Yeah, exactly. It's just a thought. And we also talked about you're beginning to see how the show fits together. Now, so this is your third session. You obviously. I mean, there's over 4,000 podcasts that you could look back on. You wouldn't have done that, you know, even in the midst of things. Do you now get an idea for the shape of the programme?
Yeah, definitely.
And how's it, I mean, from your own perspective, you know, let's turn your philosophical eye on this line. How do you feel it's shaping out? Do you feel as though it's more utilitarian? Do you feel it's more nihilistic? Do you think it's more optimistic? Where do you sort of pitch the whole thing?
I'd say there's a good level of variety between different methods. I think that's very good. I think you need variety. I think it'd be bad if it was all just one viewpoint, you know? Hmm.
Well, that's what we're trying to do in a way which actually accommodates, obviously, the kind of world in which we live in which cases say strange times indeed. Not only from COVID, but obviously the Black Lives Matter protests and all the rest of the sort of elements that are coming through with that. Now, we mentioned sport there. Are you at all excited by the fact that this week is Royal Ascot, in a virtual sense, or that actually it's also the start of the behind closed doors Premiership and Championship season, or is it just a case of, frankly, I didn't even know and I don't care?
I think the latter. I'm not really much of a sport person. Yeah. I did hear a fun fact the other day that pigeon racing was the first competitive sport to come back after COVID. So I think maybe now I'll start getting into that.
If you wish, Lou Bevan, who is to the pigeon racing world what Sir Alex Ferguson was to Manchester United, are hugely successful. And also Lou, as well as being the grand nephew of Nye Bevan, who actually founded the National Health Service, Lou trains the rabbits for a series that you may just recall called the Teletubbies.
Oh, wow. Full circle.
Giant Netherlands dwarfs they were. That's why they were so big, because they had to be quite big, because obviously Tinky Winky, La La, Dipsy and Poe were quite large as well. Tragically, I'll summate the story that he's actually shared with us on a number of occasions. He opted for the flat payment as opposed to a percentage. If he'd gone for the percentage, basically he only lost several million pounds in terms of not going for the percentage of things.
Yeah, drop in the ocean.
Exactly. Never mind. Lou, I'm sure, will return in the not-too-distant future. So presumably the Tokyo Olympics that's been postponed to 2021 again, not necessarily on your horizon, because no pigeon racing in the Olympics.
Yeah, the pigeon racing really is eclipsing everything else at the moment.
I don't quite understand why they haven't actually introduced pigeon racing as Olympic sport. They can have golf, so surely you can have pigeon racing.
Yeah, they have curling. I feel like that's as ridiculous as anything. You've got curling in there, I think you can really have anything.
And in addition to that, of course, curling is like rather using a broom to do lots of things very, very quickly. You know, using your broom and sweeping away with it like some sort of manically crazed Celtic soul. She's scoring straight. Maybe it's because Stokesley's not too far away from the Scottish borders. Well, I say that. I mean, it's about 60 miles away. You know, you're kind of equidistant where you are from 150 miles from Edinburgh, 250 miles from London. It's just there, you know, they're all distances. And have you been wearing masks, or is it a case of you're now set to the fact, because clearly from this week, it's a case of if you're on public transport at all, if you go into hospital at all, it's a mask all the time. And again, you know, maybe in the not too future, maybe you might be able to join us in the hospital. But obviously, work through a socially distanced side of things. I think we'll wait until we get back to 1 meter as opposed to 2 meter distance for that. In case you're wondering on Siren, this is where we're recording our studios at our present, or the Midweek Drive at least. Would you be? I mean, have you got a designer face mask, or is it a case of I've got no face masks at all?
We did a few. My mum is a very good sewer, so she's been teaching me some methods of sewing. And so we made a couple of face masks the other week in case. But I really have not been going out of the house much anyway, so there hasn't really been much of a need for them so far.
Well, I'm sure that as we head throughout June and July, maybe you'll be taking those steps forward. I mean, do you drive, or is that a case of, no, I haven't quite got to that stage as yet?
Oh, I don't know. Also, I'm very happy to leave the house whenever I'm told I can.
Good. Well, then, in which case, stay isolated, because the Midweek Drive will hopefully keep you company, as indeed with that good place. It's very important.
Yeah.
Have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today, Poppy Booth?
Yes, very.
And let's set the listener some homework. Have you got a philosopher that you'd like us to look at for next week, which you'd say, yeah, I expect you, by the time we next resume these connections in about a week's time, for you to have at least looked at some of the work of this particular philosopher?
I think maybe more a theme would be interesting to look at. I was thinking about maybe looking at, since this is a radio show, looking at the philosophy of music as a theme for next week. I think that would be quite interesting.
Like what you were doing there, effectively, philosophy of music written down. Poppy, we've already answered that question, so you'll be back with us to talk about the philosophy of music in a week's time, yes?
Yeah, absolutely.
Ride, best trip, always, I know.
philosophy of music. Next week's topic from Poppy Booth. Okay, let us move on now to something which has become a fixture in this new post-lockdown or pre-lockdown or during lockdown or partial lockdown. Anyway, socially distanced bubble lockdown, which is, of course, Tessa's Tune of the Week. How are you, Tessa Snart?
Hello, I'm very well. I think I might have hay fever, though.
Do you know, I thought initially when we connected, because I mean, yeah. I'm sure the listener is well aware of this, but you know, we don't just rapidly sort of instantly sort of call people up, and then we have a few words to check that you're there, then we connect you to the desk, the system, etc. And I thought, oh, Tessa sounds a little bit low today. I thought, this is unusual. And I thought, was it the system here? Yeah, and I was thinking, oh, what's happening here from that point of view? And I thought, well, that surely can't be, especially if, you know, through the ether, she would have been blown away by Robin's review of Polina Jane's Credit. You know, even to the extent I think he's even gone to download it himself. You know, he was so impressed with that. So you can listen again to that next week, obviously online and various other things. Because you know the way it works, Tessa. We do a partial live recording on the sort of weekend, and then that goes out on the Midweek Drive slot. So let's see, Midweek Drive time now. If I was to estimate it, let's say it will be around about 25 minutes to 6 o'clock on Wednesday the 13th of June.
Okay.
Yeah, the 13th of June? No, sorry, Wednesday the 17th. 17th. So Wednesday the 17th of June. 17th of June. If you're listening to it and you're a kind of aficionado via TuneIn or the Radio Player app of sirenonline.co.uk of Siren Radio, you're listening to it in Lincoln, that's approximately it. I mean, don't say that's precise. Anything can happen with the computer system there. You might have actually taken the other option of simply going to southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com and be listening to it there, you know? But, you know, in terms of the time side of things there. So some way, shape or form, it will work out its way through this. Either way, it might drive you to drink, which might be a nice way of actually saying you need to actually head into Tessa's Tune of the Week this week. Over to you, Tessa.
Yeah, that does tie in nicely. So my track of the week this week comes off actually an album that I've made, Album of the Week across socials, called Pantomime Villains, and that's by a quartet called The Outlaw Orchestra. And they're rock and roll, but there's also hints of southern country rock and bluegrass. They're a real mixed bag. And the song is called Send Some Whiskey Home. And the reason I've picked this as my track of the week off of the album is because on the latest Country in the Kitchen episode, my podcast, I feature the lead vocalist from the quartet, Dave Rue. And we played this one on the show, and it's one of his particular favourites. And he recorded this with one of his friends. You'll hear a fabulous lady doing the backing vocals. And she's called Trish Burke. And her husband plays the two guitar solos on this track as well. And it is really, really brilliant. So I hope everyone likes it. I hope Robin approves. So far, so good. The past two or three he's liked. So, yeah, here it is. Send Some Whiskey Home by the Outlaw Orchestra.
Wish you loved me like my dog does. Would that be something? Would that be something? But you took off. You took off up north. I don't know where. I don't care. Just send some whiskey home, and I'm running low. And the dog of bone, really all runs dry.
But always remember, please, drink responsibly. Or go teetotal, in which case you can just save the whiskey and just look at it sort of over the years, effectively. That's the important thing.
There you go.
I'm just, you know, conscious of the health use here. We don't want to have a situation where people are overindulging and actually wrecking their livers just because they feel, well, the whiskey's been sent home, but we still need to actually, you know, be aware of our overall health.
Definitely. Well, actually, to lighten that, the song actually started about Dave's dog. And in the interview we do, he tells you the story behind.
Was that the dog of Dave?
Yeah. No, his dog is actually called Ted. But I think his wife, Kathy, mentioned a line and said that the dog, I think you love the dog more than me. And that's where the song comes from. He's got a whole story behind it.
Normally it's a car, of course, that gets the flack. But clearly a canine has obviously got it from that point of view. Never mind. Yeah, interesting. Don't forget, Country in the Kitchen is the podcast which has kind of emerged as a kind of, I suppose, the offspring in many ways of Sound and Country Vision and the Midrake Drive, really. And that's why Tessa's still part of the Midrake Drive, because we haven't worked out a way in which Sound and Country Vision can effectively work, given that we're slightly limited in terms of our studio technology, vis-a-vis Zoom and other sort of areas that we might sort of consider. So, yes. Never mind.
But of course, we've got the social media and the tracks of the week and the artists of the day. They're all on
Exactly.
Still going on.
And something else which we've kind of introduced as part of your contributions, which is the Country Classic, which I normally sort of throw at you as sort of a choice. This week, three choices from Kenny Rogers: Coward of the County, Lucille, or The Gambler. Which one are you going to go for?
Oh, I'm going to go for The Gambler.
You were straight in there. You know, you picked a fine time to leave me Lucille. You were straight in with The Gambler. That's clearly the sort of number that was actually there. Okay, then. And I think should take us round as well to Sarah Huntley. So have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today, Tessa Snart?
I have. I love doing them, as always.
Excellent. And presumably we'll be back with you again in a week.
Yes. Would you like a quick heads up on the track of the week next week?
Well, that would be even more wonderful.
Well, I can tell you, it is a track from our good friend Carrington McDuffie. Say no more.
Excellent. I've sort of lost slight touch with Carrington, but I pass on our very best wishes to Carrington. In fact, tell her we should be in touch with her. And we've got a bit of an American special, hopefully next week, when we're speaking to some of our American correspondents. So we might sort of add her to the list from that point of view as well.
Well, she did say the song we're going to play kind of reminds her of you. It's Sweet Way. I'll tell you more next week. But,
Right. Okay. Well, that's. Yep. Well, what can I say? So we've heard it there. Tessa Snart will be back with us again. Don't forget Sound. Back issues of Sound and Country Vision will be there. You can access all sorts of the programs there from the podcast as well. And you've also got Country in the Kitchen, which is on board as well from that point of view. Go on, Tessa. I'll let you introduce the Kenny Rogers number. Off you go.
So this is Kenny Rogers with his great hit, The Gambler.
On a warm summer's evening, on a train bound for nowhere, I met up with a gambler. We were both too tired to sleep, so we took turns of staring out the window at the darkness till boredom overtook us. And he began to speak. He said, "Son, I've made a life out of reading people's faces and knowing what the cards were by the way they held their eyes. So if you don't mind my saying, I can see you're out of aces. For a taste of your whiskey, I'll give you some advice." So I handed him my bottle, and he drank down my last swallow. Then he bummed a cigarette and asked me for a light. And the night got deathly quiet, and his face lost all expression. Said, "If you're gonna play the game, boy, you gotta learn to play it right. You got to know when to hold 'em, know when to fold 'em, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done." Every gambler knows that the
secret to surviving is knowing what to throw away, knowing what to keep. 'Cause every hand's a winner and every hand's a loser, and the best that you can hope for is to die in your sleep. And when he finished speaking, he turned back toward the window, crushed out a cigarette, faded off to sleep. And somewhere in the darkness, the gambler, he broke even. But in his final words, I found an ace that I could keep. You got to know when to hold 'em, know when to fold 'em, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done. You got to know when to hold 'em, when to hold 'em, know when to fold 'em, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done. You got to know when to hold 'em, know when to fold 'em, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the deal is done.
There will be time enough for counting when the deal is done, won't there, Sarah Hundley?
There certainly will. There certainly will.
But
I was just having a naughty chuckle to myself on that song. I mean, obviously it's about gambling and money, but if you take that context out, you wonder what they're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. That's so true. It's that, and something which I'm sure Poppy Booth, in her philosophy of music talk she's going to be speaking about next week, will be quite fascinated in terms of that. It's great stuff on this very programme. So here we are, Sarah, 3 weeks in to the Midweek Drive as it resumed its... Exactly, as it resumed its COVID-19 free, socially distanced versions of the shows and so on. I can report to your good self that I have successfully taken part in my first ever Microsoft Teams meetings. And I didn't even realise my laptop actually had a video screen on it, but there we are. It's, a camera, I should say, that could actually... that's very strange. I thought, that person looks rather familiar. Oh, it's me. Oh, fair enough. We live in the 21st century where, you know, back in the day, and I'm talking, the 16th century, 15th century, thereabouts, okay, you'd have the occasional mirror. But in most cases, and even further back, you know, you had to rely on your reflection in the water to actually just see, check things through. You know, that was before we all became narcissists. Social media surely is one of those areas which, I mean, hands up, I have once taken a selfie in the studio, but, you know, I just don't. I just think, why? I think
sometimes as well, everyone's so obsessed with taking photographs of where they are and what they're doing, that they're actually not in the moment. And, you know, I'm in Amsterdam, it could be anywhere in Rotterdam, but if you keep just taking the photographs, are you smelling, breathing it, touching it, being there? No, not really.
To quote your famous and favourite saying, smell the roses on the way. This is the key thing.
Yeah, exactly.
It's very, very unusual. I mean, you know, you did sort of feel the urge to actually take a selfie when you're in the midst of delivering some Lambda training standard stuff to the pupils of Dulwich College. And you say, you're hashtag excited, just actually doing more training with the boys, you know? Which, again, if you take it out of context, could mean it's like Kenny Rogers' song. It could go all over the place.
Could end my teaching career.
Yeah, well, it's just there, you know, there and then, precisely.
And actually, we're not allowed to do that. But one of the weird thing is with it all is that, as you say, we've all got bits of equipment. Sorry, this sounds rude. That we don't even know what we can do with it. That we weren't aware that we had.
Story of my life,
like
Sarah.
Like you not knowing you had a camera when you did.
Exactly.
And then other times you think, well, there's all this safe ranking hierarchy stuff, which is good in a way, but I think some of that in education has had to be put on hold if people want to work online. So you have to split the difference.
And then I was just working with the company a couple of years ago, training with them. And they were worried about when, which is old hat now, people were taking footage on mobiles and then handing them into the BBC News and verifying how true they were. And so therefore, it all becomes a bit ridiculous. I mean, personally, I just am trying to give myself a day. And it's very hard. You are the exception of not speaking down a phone, not looking down a screen, just being in the moment and not having any of that technology. Because otherwise, you just feel you can't. I feel like I'm in a bad version of Star Trek where everything has to be done through a screen. And soon it will be eating, I feel. I don't understand the young, so I'm having a bit of a rant. I don't understand the younger generation having to go out for a meal, click a picture of what they're eating, and then post it to everybody. Why?
Arguably, it all started, certainly with respect to Twitter, when Stephen Fry actually started to tweet that he was stuck in a lift.
Oh, it all went back to a stuck in a lift moment, did it?
I think so.
I mean, I don't think you can beat good old radio where you're listening to someone's voice and there's real communication going on.
Exactly. Who needs your Instagram, your social media accounts, your Zooms? Don't get me started on Zoom. It's a different line entirely. Strange times indeed, as we were saying. Do you know, I was just doing a quick calculation whilst we were speaking there, Sarah, and today, with respect to the fact that we're putting a bumper package, etc., 17 interviewees I have worked through. 17 radio interviewees since this morning started, earlier days to the whole sort of setup from that point of view, a couple of other programmes. You're actually number 13 in that list, by the way, Sarah.
Oh, that's a lucky number, because it's June the 13th.
Yeah, you see what you exactly.
It's my 28th wedding anniversary today.
Yes, so. Well, congratulations. It's full of congrats. We congratulate Zoe Jameson for becoming a fully qualified veterinary surgeon from the Royal Veterinary College. So well done there.
Congratulations.
Yes, she did. And you could support her on her London Marathon that she's doing for St. John's Ambulance, actually. You just have to go to Just Giving and look up Zoe Jameson. That's Jameson, basically. Or you could listen to the show. I mean, actually, Sarah, given that you're... Do you ever take the chance to actually... as indeed Robin Pierce does and regularly comments on yourself, Sarah, you know, it's very important to actually sort of review the show and say, I'll just have a listen to that and sort of see what else has been happening, because you've been in the studio when you've taken part of the whole thing, but this whole notion of having total trust in myself to put it together in a way that actually makes some kind of coherent sense and then actually flows.
I shall do that this week then, Alexis. I shall do that. If you could just...
Send you the link.
Send me the link.
Very easy. Exactly.
I will enjoy doing that. Yeah.
I mean, I could even say it now, southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com. That's it. You know, basically.
It would be good just to put it down on the table.
Exactly. So you get the spelling and the enunciation is right. We were obviously also speaking with Richard Fitzwilliams, who's this week had a classic film, which it'll be online, but again, you can catch this possibly on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition, but looking ahead to that, he was talking about the King's Speech. 10 years since the King's Speech actually provided Academy Awards for Colin Firth and other folk. And again, a classic case of how times can change. Back in that day, there we had the Duke of York being advised by scientific advisors, smoking, very good to actually keep the nerves calm. I mean, you would not actually suggest these days to your Dulwich students, by the way, have a few ciggies, lads. You know, it'll help the enunciation.
Yeah. You go in.
Or indeed put marbles in your mouth as a way to actually sort of deal with any speech challenges that are actually there. It's stunning, I think so. Do you remember the King's Speech? Did you ever actually listen? I mean, you must have seen it, Sarah, surely.
I think it's a wonderful film. Yeah. I tell you, I was very cross that the Australian actor who plays the speech trainer...
Geoffrey Rush.
I think Geoffrey should have got an Oscar for that.
Yeah.
I think it's a marvellous portrayal of it.
And the other one.
I really liked Helena Bonham Carter.
Helena Bonham Carter, exactly.
Thank you very much.
Put some marbles in your mouth, Sarah. Spit it out, Sarah, spit it out.
Playing the Queen Mother.
Yes.
And I'd love to have actually got a handbag and she would like a sweetie.
Yes.
Children. No, I think it's a marvellous, marvellous film. And... so many people actually do have really bad hang-ups about speech. And you can do so much to help and to help themselves.
And you do, Sarah.
It was.
And I hopefully sort of add something to that when I actually do some voice training with some of our undergraduates as well. It's all good. It's all good. Sarah Huntley, let's give a nod, of course, to the other Australian actor, Guy Pearce, who I thought did a very, very good job as Edward VI, basically, the abdicating. He was very good in that. Timothy Spall, obviously not necessarily playing Winston Churchill as a gangster, not necessarily the best thing there, but that's by the by. You can listen to more of Richard Fitzwilliam's comments on The King's Speech next week if you want to actually share with us this whole experience. Richard's classic movie will be... I should have had a drum roll there, but I thought, no, just pause for effect. Exactly. The Devil Wears Prada.
Oh, that's a brilliant film. That's a wonderful film.
Yes. So have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us on the programme today, Sarah Huntley?
I've had a lovely link. Oh, it's been a nice link. Yes.
There we are. Let's not go there. Otherwise, like an episode of Fawlty Towers, we'll find ourselves pulled from the system without so much as a by your leave. It's okay. We won't go there. It's a different line entirely.
Don't get me going on.
No,
that,
I don't.
Just have to change every bit of drama, every play.
Clearly. Sea change, damn it, you know, no Gone with the Wind. Will you be back again next week?
I'd love to. Yes, please.
Splendid. In the next hour of the programme, all being well, assuming this fits in all manner of wonderful ways, we'll be speaking to Gwyneth Griffiths, Kaylee Carr, Eva MacDonald, and Sarah Graham Harper.
Oh, give Harper my love, and I love the way you did Gwyneth Griffiths. That was a tricky one. Good. Got your tongue around that.
Gwyneth Griffiths, boy.
Gwyneth Griffiths.
Take care.
Give Harper for me, telling us I hope he's being a lovely boy.
Isn't he always a lovely boy? Let's not go there. Sarah, speak soon.
Thanks, bye.